goodsuccess.com.
Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the privilege to learn at your feet again today. Thank you because your word is coming our way to transform us, to change our levels. Be magnified in the name of Jesus. And we pray that no one returns back the same way today. Grant everyone an encounter of a lifetime. In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. The topic remains Common Sense Guide to Building Wealth, Part 3. Last week, we took the part 2 of the Guide to Building Wealth, and we were able to learn a lot of things. And some of the things we learned and we've been learning over the past 2 weeks include the fact that there are intellectual and psychological things to do to build wealth. Number one, you need to have a goal. You need to have a good and godly life that you desire. Then, what are the good things you're going to do? What are the good acts, charity, the things you're going to do when those blessings eventually find expression in your life? And we already understand that God is the one who gives you power to get wealth. And that one of the spiritual ways by which God blesses you and I is the secret of God. God lets you have access to his secret things. That's one of the ways. Then also, you must resist the attacks of the enemy. And then be conscious of the blessing of the tithes, the first fruits, and the offerings and sacrifices. Then make sure you stay in God's will. These are the spiritual things we talked about the first time, the first week we started Common Sense Guide to Building Wealth. And then we were able to go ahead to talk about the common sense things like don't just leave your job without a tested plan, you know, except you have a direct instruction from God. And then, whatever your hands find to do, do it. Get busy. No laziness is permitted. Then also, trade your gifts. Trade your time. Then make sure you trade your skill. That means your time is important. Your skill is important. Your gifts are important. Your natural talents. Then we also mentioned the place of leveraging relationships. That you and I must understand that God blesses us through people. Jesus did not just increase in favor with God, he also increased in favor with men. If you have favor with God and you don't have favor with men, the person will still be lacking a lot of things in his life. God designed us to need people, to be blessed through people. In fact, the Bible says, give and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give to you. So God will use men to give to you. Then also, we mentioned the fact that this is not just an issue of answers to prayers. Building wealth is not just about prayers. Yes, you pray, that is right, but it's beyond just praying. You and I need to know that there are other things we need to do alongside those things. Then also, we talked about it starts from a dream. You must have a good dream, a focus, a dream of the future. Then we also said last week that you must leverage technology. And I did mention the place of AI, you know, artificial intelligence, the phone you have, how more sophisticated it is than, you know, even the first spacecraft that went to the moon. So you must leverage all these things to your advantage. No matter the skill you have now, even in the medical line, everything revolves on technology. Technology is used to measure BP. Remember those times that they'll be pumping something like this and all that. But now they just put this thing on your hand and this thing just checks your BP by itself. Technology is in every area. So by now, we shouldn't even be talking about, do you know how to use computer? Even if you're a pastor, no matter what you do, you must know how to use computer. It's no longer an alternative. No, it's a must. The question now is not, do you know how to use it? No, the question is, what are the things you can do? What are the extra things you can do beyond Microsoft Word, Excel, and all that? So you and I must leverage technology. Then also, we mentioned the fact that you must focus on productivity, not just activity. Being busy does not guarantee anything. Being productively busy is what guarantees results. So check whatever you're doing. Check whatever skill you have, whatever business you have. Check how much is coming in at the end of the month or at the end of the day or at the end of the week. And see if it really measures up to your skill and to your time. If it doesn't measure up, that means Something may just be lacking. Maybe you need to get better skill. You need to get better. You need to learn how to even talk to people. If you're in business, for example, maybe you need to know how to negotiate better or look for a better target, you know, to talk to instead of the people you've been talking to. So those are the things we've learned. Then we also mentioned the fact that we must avoid distractions. A distracted life is a poor and a frustrating one. If you and I are distracted, there is no guarantee of success. Distraction is one of the things that bring about failure. If you can focus on anything and focus on it well enough, you will be skilled in it and you can almost guarantee success in that area of life. Then we also mentioned the fact that you must save. And I said it this way, save, save, save. Without savings, there is no way you can say you have a lot of abundance. Abundance begins with you saving. No matter how small it is, start to save. So that is it. Then we also pointed the fact that Joseph saved 20%. Jesus had a purse that Judas was keeping and stealing, and the disciples were not feeling it because they felt it. Maybe Thomas or Peter will have talked about him and accused him. David had a personal purse through which he was able to give more than the elders of Israel in the building of the temple. Then I mentioned the example of Pastor Sam Adeyemi about giving. So this week, we're going to look at what I feel is the most important aspect of this. And please, there is a message I want to recommend to everyone. It is by Apostle Joshua Selman. Please and please listen to it. It explains some of these things in a different dimension. So today we are going to read some scriptures. Proverbs 23 from verse 4. It says, "Do not overwork to be rich because of your own understanding cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven." Then Psalm 75, 6-7 says, "For exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He puts one down and exalts another." Then Ecclesiastes 9:11 says, "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all." I'm going to read that again. "I returned and saw under the sun," that is on this earth we live in, not in heaven, this earth, "that the race is not to the swift," meaning that in a relay race, the person who wins is not always the one who is the best runner. No, sometimes the best runner falls and the one who is not as good as him wins the race. "The battle is not to the strong." Because you are stronger than someone does not mean you're going to win the battle. For example, the case of David and Goliath. Goliath was probably 100 times stronger than David, but he did not win the battle because the battle is not always to the strong, nor bread to the wise. In fact, there's an example in the Bible. It said there was a poor old wise man, that there was a problem coming to a city, and because of his wisdom, he rescued the city from the problem, and they said it was forgotten. But remember, the Bible said it was poor. Wisdom is supposed to bring about riches, but this man did not experience the riches. He was poor. So this place is saying that bread does not always come to the wise. Riches does not always come to the men of understanding. How many professors are actually super rich? I mean, that you know about, maybe in your school, all over the world, people who have learned to the highest realm of understanding. There's no guarantee they will be rich. Favor does not come to the men of skill. And that's what we'll be talking about today, favor. But it says here that time and chance, meaning that there are opportunities, come to them all. Everybody will have opportunities. In fact, it's just saying that opportunity is what will determine whether you succeed when you have your skill. We've already dealt with the place of skill, the place of networking, the place of doing all the normal things that the world and the people of the world will do. But it says, without right opportunities, all these things will be wasted. So today we are looking at number 13 of our Common Sense Guide, which says, "Don't chase money, build wealth." Don't chase money, build wealth. Proverbs 23, 4-8, the one we read earlier, that says, "Don't overwork to be rich because of your own understanding cease." Now, God gives power to get wealth. That's the scripture we've been repeating over and over again. you and I must have experienced it by now, and you must have concluded that if God does not help you and I, there is no place for us. We don't even stand a chance, especially because we are not physically in the kingdom of God yet. We are spiritually in the kingdom of God. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. But physically speaking, right now, we are on earth. And on earth, every kingdom will favor its own. If you are not a citizen of a country, and there's a citizen, and there's someone who is not a citizen, and both of you are in trouble, they will rescue their citizen first. So, the kingdom of this world does not really favor the people who are born again, except you activate the power of the kingdom that you actually belong in. So, if as a child of God, you are just walking and you believe in your skill, you believe in all the normal things that we mentioned before, and you don't activate the things of the kingdom of God, the person may end up frustrated. I have experienced it. I have been a man of skill for several years of my life, and I know how stagnated I was for several years too. So, God is the one who gives the power to get wealth. Don't chase money, build wealth. And I will explain later. Now, if pigeons around you, and you give them food every day, just throw grains to them, and tomorrow, maybe they will just make a mistake to come there and check. If you throw grains again, next tomorrow they are going to come. Later they are going to come. Pigeons can fly away, maybe probably for the whole day and come back at night. But there is a reason why they will always come back to that place, because they have been fed in that place. The same thing with money. If the Bible compares money to riches, and guess what? You can never tie down birds. They will always fly, except you don't want them to maximize their potential. And when it comes to the place of money, you can't tie it down. It will always fly. If you keep money now for 10 years, the same money, if they don't change the currency like they have done in Nigeria and so many places, if they don't change the currency and the money becomes useless, there will be inflation that will keep reducing the money. That means the money is staying there, not doing anything, but inflation is just reducing it from one level to another, reducing in value over and over again. So what do you do to the bird of riches? You feed it. It talks about the place of giving. Now, the bird you feed every day is the bird that comes back to you. Now, when it comes to money, it's called currency. That means there's a flow. It may flow away, but it will flow back to you because you are feeding, you are giving, you are sacrificing. Money always finds an excuse to come to give us. It will always find an excuse. Even if the business you are into, the career you are into, is no longer making money, you will always have opportunities for you to do something else to make money. There may not be a guarantee in your career. There may not be a guarantee in your business. But there is one guarantee. If you are a giver and you learn how to feed your bird, then you will always have an opportunity. Always, several opportunities will always come your way for you to be blessed. That's number 13. Don't chase money. Build wealth. God never told us to chase it. You just do what God commands. Build your skill. Do all those other things. Then be a giver. Then you see that money will always be attracted to you. And guess what I've seen? And from my experience, I'm not a city, but I grew up in the village, so to say. But you know what? There's something I learned when we were growing up. My parents, they will always have maybe local chicken, and they always have goats. You know, when somebody gives you chicken to rear, what you do is, you first take the chicken, you tie the leg of the chicken to something it cannot drag. Then the chicken, you lock the door so that the chicken cannot go anywhere. You begin to feed the chicken the first day, second day, maybe for a week. Then the chicken now gets used to that. It's like, is this place my home? Is this place not my home? It's not sure yet. Then what do? You remove the leg of the chicken. You tie it to something else it can drag. A lighter wood or a log of wood. Something small. Then it begins to drag it around the house. You don't let it go again. It will still stay around the house. Then you feed it over and over again. Then the chicken is now getting used to the house. Then later, when you trust the chicken, you just remove the wood. And you let the chicken go out. Guess what? The chicken will go out and come back. Go out and come back. In fact, you get angry later that, why is this chicken? Go out and play like your mate and come back later at night. That's exactly what money is. When you become a giver, you may not see the result immediately. But when you continue to give and give and give, it just becomes natural that you begin to receive and receive and receive over and over again. So don't chase money. Build wealth by giving, by sowing into people's lives, by sowing into the kingdom of God. And I pray that as you begin to do this, you see results in Jesus' name. Amen. Then number 14, create a system around your life so that you do not become a servant of money. This is very important. There is something about money that when you start building, if you are not careful, if you don't have a system around your life, you will become a servant of money. Especially when your giving has now created so many opportunities around your life. The Bible says in Mark 8:36-38 that, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? He said, whoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Last week I mentioned the fact that if you are not careful, you will spend every hour of your day chasing money or doing things that produce money. The things of the kingdom of God will now become, you know, second hand to you, so to say. But you and I must never get to that place. So create a system around your life. What do I mean by that? Number one, spirituality. Prayer time. Have a specific prayer time that when that time comes, you will just naturally remember that this is the time. In fact, set alarm for it. Devotion time. Time to go to church. Tell yourself that it is time to go to church. Nothing else distracts me. I'm not even going late. Evangelism time. These are the things you must schedule a time for. There must always be a time that you do it. If not, you forget all this. And before you know it, God forbid, the person will move from the church of God to the cult. I know of someone that used to serve God, used to be serious in church, and right now, I think he's even in the cult because he started moving with the big boys in cult. So if you don't create a system around your life, you will lose your faith. God forbid. It's just a matter of time. But I pray that none of us will lose our faith because of money in Jesus' name. Then, 14b, health, exercise, fitness, and eating well. You must begin to create time around this. Because if you lose your health, money will become useless. In fact, after spirituality, the most important thing is health. If you lose both of them, then the person has nothing left. Then time for family. There was a time, especially I think in 2020, I had so much work to do that I had no time for anything else. I mean, practically nothing else except work. Then I said, no, I can't continue this way. There must be a better way around it. And I started gradually, I'm better now. I'm not saying I'm the best, but I'm better now. That I know, okay, when I close, I can now sit down, watch movie with my family. Then movie, never. No time for nothing. Intentionally now, I do it. So you must create a system around your life that lets you have time for your spirituality, for your health, and for your family. Then number 15, be rich in good works. 1 Timothy 6:17 to 19 says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be proud, not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches. It's a bird. You don't trust the bird because it can fly away anytime. He said, don't trust in uncertain riches, but you put your trust in the living God. Don't trust in your skill. Don't trust in all the things you do well. This is why God is the one who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Now, let's remember this one. Even though you are asked to give, you are asked to be rich in good works, God still wants you to enjoy. But it says, beyond the enjoyment, be rich in good works. He said, let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give. You are always ready to give, willing to share, storing up for yourself the good foundation for the time to come, that you may lay hold on eternal life. The truth is this, your money and your eternal life, they work hand in hand. The Bible says, if someone cannot control earthly riches, how will you give him the real riches? So if someone cannot control his money and money begins to control him, there is no guarantee that the person will make the kingdom of God eventually. Because the Bible says you cannot serve God and money. One has to go for the other. So we must take time to learn all these things. Be rich in good works. So what have we learned today? Number one, don't chase money, build wealth. How do you do that? By giving. By giving. God is one, trusting God. Then number two, create a system around your life. Then number three, today, be rich in good works. Then number 16 now, which is number four for today, stand for righteousness. I cannot emphasize this enough. Stand for righteousness. How do we do this? And what is the meaning of this? Number one, learn to reject business offers career offers opportunities that directly negate your faith. I'll say it again. Learn to reject business offers or opportunities that directly negate your faith. Things that directly attack your faith, reject it. Reject them. For example, I think I've mentioned it too. So many times I'm at people because, you know, of my website design business. They will just come and they always have money. They will say, oh, build us a website for cannabis or pornography. They will call it adult website. And I said, no, I can't do that. Because these people always have the money. Even though you are offering me a very good money, probably more than what I normally charge. But no, I will not do it. I'm sorry. I'll just humbly turn them away. Sorry, I will not take this at this moment. I can't help the devil to build his kingdom. That's the truth. Determine that no matter what, I'm standing for righteousness. Remember Mark 8:36 that we read earlier. It says, whoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. That means if you and I are ashamed of Jesus, because of money, we just do anything that comes our way. Any party that comes, any opportunity that comes, maybe you are paying my money, so let me do it. No. A child of God should stand for righteousness, even at the expense of not having the money. God says he will take care of you. He says if the birds of the air, the feet, the trees of the field, the lilies and all that, he said, if I'm able to take care of them, what about you? Trust God that he's the one who takes care of you, not your business. And once you have this understanding and this faith, you know that no, you cannot suffer. You may miss one opportunity, but trust me, God will bring many opportunities your way. Now, all those opportunities I turn down, do I miss them? Never. Because there will always be a way. God will always create opportunities for you. The devil will bring that as temptation, but God will also use it as a test for you. What will you do when opportunities come? So, let's remember that. Reject business offers opportunities that directly negate your faith. Please read this at home, Romans 1:16-32. If you read verse 32, it tells us that you should not encourage sinners. It mentions several sins, several things. It said, these people will not only be guilty, but those who encourage them to do it. If your business encourages sinners to sin, then you want to check it out and stand for righteousness. Don't help these people amplify what they are doing. Don't help them broadcast what they are doing. You know, if you are a righteous person, and when there is sin, you don't stand against it. You are just encouraging those people to continue in it. Then, how do we stand for righteousness again? Don't cheat others to make money. For whatever reason, don't cheat. Don't cheat people to make money. Stand for righteousness. And lastly, today, we want to talk about a very important tool that helps us to create wealth. Favor is that tool. Favor is what grants you access to great opportunities. If you have all the skill in the world and you don't have the opportunity to use it, it is as good as useless. Your skills and strength are of no use without appropriate opportunities. That's what we read in Ecclesiastes 9:11. It says, time and chance happen to them all. It mentioned all the things in this world, strength, bread, money, wealth, and all that. It says, but time and chance happen to them all. Let's say there's a contract that brings millions of dollars. There are so many people that want to get that contract, but it just goes to one person. Favor. That's why the message I mentioned before, Apostle Joshua Selman, he dealt with all these manner of things. And he mentioned the place of strategic relationships, skill, favor, and several of them like that. When you listen to that, you'll be super blessed. But I'm just talking about favor alone today. Now, some people, we abuse this and say, favor, I'm just favored. Now, there's something that favor will do for you. There's something your giving will do for you. There's something your sacrifices, your tithe will do for you. They will create opportunities for you. Opportunities to use your skill. Opportunities to do business. Opportunities to do all those things we've learned before. Now, if you have the opportunity and you don't know how to use it, then it is wasted. Somebody defined luck as the point at which preparation and opportunity meets. You are prepared, that's your skill. You are prepared, that's your business. You are prepared, you are ready to sell. You are prepared. Now, without the opportunities, then the skills and the strength are of no use. And that's the place of favor. And that's why if there is anything you desire or pray after this, favor. I have spent like 10 years of my life with skill and every manner of thing. Without the place of favor, everything was just useless. I was busy, nothing to show for it. But when favor started showing forth, when favor started coming forth, then the same thing I used to do. In fact, I was doing less than it and was getting paid more and more and more. Favor. What does favor do? It grants you access to opportunities, great opportunities. What will favor do for you? It will make people, employers, customers, and clients choose you instead of competitors. Two people are selling things. Why do you always go to that one person when two of them are actually selling the same thing? Favor. Favor. Desire favor. Because if you have the skill, like I said, and there is no opportunity, it is almost useless. What will favor do for you? Favor will make your helpers close their hearts to reason just to choose you. For example, this one has always bothered me. Now, Joseph was a prisoner. What is the expectation of a prisoner? To be free. A prisoner really has no other expectation. A prisoner cannot think about, I want to become king. For what? You are locked down as a prisoner. What you want is, if I can just be free and move around like normal people. What is the hope of a sick person? To be healthy. Now, Joseph was in prison. And all he wanted was just to be free. And guess what? An opportunity came up for him to use his gift. He went there. He used his gift. Now, using that gift is enough to rescue any nation. Normally, what will have happened? You'll have said, wow, you did a good job. Now I free you. By the power conferred on me as the king of this land, I am freeing you today. Become a free man. You can return back to your country, do whatever you like. And then what else will he do? He will give him money. But guess what? Joseph was made the king and rendered the king himself useless. Because when there's a prime minister, kings are always more like a ceremonial stuff. The prime ministers do the work and was made the prime minister. How do we explain it? That is not normal reasoning. That is the place of favor. That is exactly what can happen to you and I if we experience the favor of God. And I pray that it will not become if anymore, it will become when. And all the time that you begin to experience favor and favor and favor in Jesus' name. Amen. What will favor not do? I think that's one thing we should know. Favor does not replace the place of hard work. No matter what opportunities you have, there will still be hard work. Use AI, there will still be hard work in using artificial intelligence. Now, when computer came, everybody thought, oh, computer makes life easier. Now, it made life easier, but you now have to do so much hard work on the computer itself to get your results. Because so many other people know what you do. Hard work will never be replaced. Mention smart work. You also talk about doing hard work at being smart. That's exactly what's going to happen. All of us are now smart. We have smartphones. Now we now have people do hard work to make their smartphones produce results. So favor does not replace the place of opportunities. It does not replace opportunities. Favor gives you the opportunities to engage in productive but blessed work. What happened at the curse? That's when Adam and Eve were cursed, was that normally, before the curse, Adam was working. Labor is always good. But this time around, his labor was cursed. So, but this time around, when you are filled with favor, you will not just experience opportunities. You will not just do hard work, but your work will be blessed. It will be one that is blessed, that will be filled with joy. It will be the one that, according to scripture, that says that God is the one who blesses without adding sorrow to it. Joseph was favored, but favor gave him what? Bigger responsibilities. When you are praying for favor, you are only asking God that, God, give me bigger responsibilities. But how will he give you bigger responsibilities? When you maximize the one that he has given you already. Let's just take 1 moment or 2 minutes to pray wherever you are and ask God that, Father, I need favor. Let your favor begin to speak in every area of my life. Favor that attracts the right people to me. Favor that attracts customers. Favor that attracts people that want to hire me for my skill. Now I have gotten skill or I'm planning to get skill. But Father, as I'm getting newer skill, higher skill, let your favor begin to speak in my life. Let's pray 1 minute. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking the Father for everyone listening today. grant them access to divine favor, that in everything they do, as they lay their hands on things they do, let favor begin to speak. Let your favor begin to speak for them in the name of Jesus. Favor that will bring the right people to them. Favor that will bring opportunities their way. Favor that will make their skills useful. Lord, release it to everyone. Let it be, Father. Thank you, awesome God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. We have the opportunity to ask questions. If you have any question today, hallelujah.
There's a brother that asked me this question. As a brother, he said, can him own a business like having a bar? And he's a Christian, like going after souls, doing that kind of kingdom advancement. So I now ask him that, can he hold a bar?
Okay. Do you have anybody who wants to answer? Can a Christian own a bar? When we talk about a bar, we are talking about people selling alcohol and people come there to drink and eat their head on the wall and, you know, cause themselves fights, all manner of things. So, can a Christian own a bar? Do you have anybody who wants to contribute to that?
Good evening, sir.
Yes, good evening.
Yes, I think according to the scripture, let's say this scripture that talks about minister, not being a striker, not
must not be given to wine.
Then you must not be given to wine. And another part that says that do not be filled with wine, but be filled with the Spirit of God. So there are a lot of things that talk about that in the scripture actually, that is against such things. If the scripture is actually against taking all those things, then why would you, as a Christian, it's just like you are promoting the act in itself by owning a bar. Except you want to be selling soft drinks in the bar.
Praise God. Thank you so much. So I think that really answers it. Jealousy is one of the proofs of love. In fact, the main proof of love. That's why God says, I'm a jealous God. And do you know when God always says he's a jealous God? When he's talking about you shall not have another God after him. So he's saying that I love you, you love me. Don't love any other thing. Don't love any other God. So he's saying I'm a jealous God. Now, one of the proofs of love is jealousy. What do I mean by that? If you love God, you will be jealous to the extent that you cannot permit what God does not want to revolve around your life and you cannot promote it. So, if I own a bar, so I will now be praying and fasting, Father, bring people to this bar. And people will now come. I mean, you'll be praying that God should give you prosperity. When people come, they will now come. Somebody will drink, go back home and go and slap his wife. Somebody will finish drinking and they will start fighting. One of the places that Christians target to preach is bars, because you know that unbelievers are always there. Christians are in church, unbelievers are in bar. They resume there like their church every day. They have friends there. In fact, they have accounts there. When they come, give me number. They know what the person drinks every day. So, as a child of God, you cannot be promoting what the enemy wants and be a child of God at the same time. I think that's it. I hope the answer helps.
Yes, very well, sir.
Okay, thank you, sir.
But what I got from is just that when you are whatever your answer should be, this, you are just thinking that's what is done.
Yeah, whatever your hand finds to do, do it. But you know, there's another thing too. You can't continue in sin and expect the grace of God to multiply. So God will only support what is his own dream. That's another way. You know, what your hand finds to do, do it, right? But you can't go and sin to say, whatever my hand finds to do, do it. That's not the only opportunity in town. There will always be several opportunities. So you can't decide to go there and say, that's what I want to do. I want to open a bar and let people come and drink. In fact, they are the ones that will tell you that you are not a Christian. By themselves, they will tell you. You can't preach to them. I think that's it. Yeah. Hallelujah.
So I just wanted to add a Bible passage. Psalm 1 verse 1 says, blessed is the one who does not walk in the step of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, nor sits in the company of mockers. Because even as a Christian, creating a bar, you might have a mind of making money. But when they come, are you just going to sit among them also and watch what they do? is the person going to be fulfilled? Because there's a part of fulfillment as every work you do. Is a Christian going to have a fulfillment after getting home that night? So the person has a lot of things to think about. So it's not right for a Christian to open a bar. That's my take on that.
Yes, thank you so much. Okay.
Sir, please, I have a question.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. Okay. So for service providers, for instance, someone that rents out speakers, as a website designer that you have, I've heard one guy say that, okay, like he's a service provider. And he's like, sometimes there are some people that will come and meet him to design some kind of stuff and all of that, that I will have conversation with them. That even during those conversations that he has with them, he has, you know, chipped in Christ to them and all of those stuff. But then he did the work. I'm not like, so how do they manage this? For a service provider, like someone that rents out speaker, okay, if they want to use the speaker in a place that is not godly, should it not the speaker out? For those that souls, okay, some people come to them and, you know, those people, they are not godly people, and the kind of style they want to sew is not, good.
Open everywhere good style.
So how do they manage them?
This is what I would say to everything. I think everyone should just measure his zeal for God. How zealous are you for God and how jealous are you for God? Like I mentioned before, what would Jesus do? That was something that was popular when we were very small, but it's no longer popular. WWJD, what would Jesus do? If Jesus were to be in your shoes, what do you think he's going to do? If Jesus were to be a fashion designer, what kind of clothes will he sew? If Jesus were to be a website designer, what kind of website will he build? If Jesus were to be a lawyer, what kind of cases will he stand for? Will he stand for a thief that is obviously a thief and prove him in the court that this is a thief? What would Jesus do? I think that's where I'm going to just wrap it up today. That is the best way to explain it. Put yourself in the shoes of Jesus and say, if Jesus were to be in my shoes at this point in time, what will he do? Will he decide to promote what he doesn't like? So I think that is my best answer. We can bring all forms of scenarios. The question is, how zealous are you for God? How much do you love Jesus? And how much do you want to stand for Jesus? People have different angles to this. But I think what matters is, how zealous are you for God? How much do you want the name of Christ to reflect in your life? I think that's it. We should end it today. Apologize for the extra time, and God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have come to the end of the episode today, and next week we'll be looking at another unique topic. We have so many interesting topics, you shouldn't miss anyone. For example, we have so many things lined up. We have just taken Common Sense Guide to Building Wealth. Out of these four, I won't tell you the exact one, taking next week. Common Sense Guide to Church Membership, Common Sense Guide to Winning in Life, Common Sense Guide to Decision Making, and Common Sense Guide to Life's Relationships. There's another one that says Why People Fail. Very important. I think we are going to take that as a series on its own. I've had my own taste of failure severally. Then there's another one, Humility, the Secret for Access to the Heart of Man and God. I will drop what we're going to take next week very soon. And please, let's be expectant and be blessed. And please, remember to invite other people. Share it on your status, share it on your WhatsApp. And if you have been doing that, God bless you. I pray God rewards you also. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next week and be blessed. I decree that this new week shall be your week of wealth. Sorry, we have a testimony. Can you go on?
Okay, so I want to share a testimony which I experienced this last week that just went. So what happened was that there was one podcast that I joined recently, this year actually. It was sharing about his experience when he was in service that he was out of cash and he wanted to sleep that night. Then he declared that his angels go forth and bring money, and before he wakes up, there should be money with him. The summary of the story is that he prayed that before he wakes up, he should have money with him. So, and before he wakes up, he received a call from his PPA. And the call was that he should come and do a particular task that his boss saw him, like maybe one of those days, he actually saw him doing those things that is not even related to what he came to do in his PPA. They called him to come and do that particular thing, and he doesn't even have transport to that place. But the person still said, if you come, that you find a way to get in transport fare. But to cut the long story short, he was given money that day, and his prayer was actually answered. He saw results to his prayer. So I now said to myself that day, I actually needed some cash and things like that, that okay, I should actually practice this, since he already said it, he experienced it. And in my mind, I was just like, oh, let me even try it out. And fortunately for me, I woke up the next day, meaning that it's been a while that I've even been called for a website design job. Fortunately, the next day, two people actually reached out to me, and I don't even know them. Someone that it has been long we've spoken, the person collected my number from that person and contacted me that there's a contract on ground that would like to take it up. And there was another guy that even contacted me, a friend of mine, that there's a job on ground. So that was what now happened. The next day, wow, so this thing works. And that was my testimony.
Yeah, praise God.
Thank you so much, sir.
Yeah, thank you. I pray the testimony will be multiplied in Jesus' name. So this is what I do every day. Anytime I see that, oh, maybe projects are not coming in or things are not coming in, I just decree, angels of God, wherever you are, go and trouble all the people that should bring me contracts, and they should come. Man, it works all the time. I still did this last week. I think on Friday, about, I think, 3 or 4 people started contacting me immediately. I mean, the angels of God are there to serve you. Decree they are released to go and look for those who should bring your blessings, and you see that it will work. Praise God. So thank you for waiting the extra time today. See you next week, and be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Bye.
The good success.com.